You're tuned into The Wire, 1 hour of current affairs and analysis starting now.
Kia ora and welcome to The Wire for Friday the 11th of August. Ko Kelly Toku Ingoa. I am joined in studio by my producer Laura Quigstad and news director Shamina Smith. We've got several things coming up on the show for you today. First up, I chat to newsroom.co.nz's editor, Tim Murphy, on the current state of New Zealand media and what it was like to launch a comprehensive and in-depth journalism medium in our current media climate. Then our weekly live chat with National MP Jamie Lee Ross on Labour's proposed water tax and also National's election transport package. I'll also ask him a bit about the recent poll results. Next, we'll have Neighbourhood Watch, where we chat with Nicole Wedding on the news from across the ditch, such as Australians now having 14 days to register to vote in the same-sex marriage postal vote, and also the sea bug creatures that have attacked a Melbourne teen. Finally, producer Laura chats to director Chai Lung Huang and James Roke on their new documentary, Asian Men Talk About Sex. Remember, if you have anything you'd like to add throughout the show, give us a text on 5395, or if you like, you can even give me a call on 309 3879.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
First up on the show today, former editor-in-chief of the New Zealand Herald, Tim Murphy, talked to me about what it was like to launch newsroom.co.nz with Mark Jennings in today's media climate and why he believed this risk would pay off. So I began by asking him if he believes media has changed drastically since when he began years ago.
There's a bit of a myth that the New Zealand media, you know, 10 or 20 or 30 years ago was so much better than we have today. In some ways, when I was early in journalism, we very much did just report straight, often quite dull material, and it was treated in a relatively dull way in print, in the Herald, and in some other media. And if you look back, if you ever look back and see them, it was nothing that you'd say was vastly better than some of what's being done now. Back then, for a long time, there wasn't even really much long-form feature writing, let alone investigation.
Yeah.
It was very much media just reporting both sides of an issue in a kind of tweedledum, tweedledee way.
Mm.
And yes, measured and, I'd say, balanced very much, but within all that, not the biggest set of context or inquiry or challenge, you know.
Is that kind of why you guys launched Newsroom? Do you think that there's still that gap now?
Well, in a different way, where we've come from now is that in between times, the media kind of, because of what technology delivered and challenged all the media companies and the ways people take their news and want their news, and that, say, fast forward that through about 15, 20 years. What happened in that period was the media went from being quite worthy and dull and two-dimensional to being quite unworthy, really high appeal, high sugar but low protein, and in some ways less balanced and less concerned for context and correctness. And so there was a different change. And so where Mark and I got to in both of our companies was that there were further changes planned along those lines in terms of speeding things up, in terms of extending and integrating other media very fast into what is now delivered both at News Hub and the Herald and NZME. And it was a good time for both of us actually. We decided, well, that's fine. If someone wants to do that, we don't know that's where we want to be. You know, there's no problem with that. We've both had a good run at the top of the industry. But what we felt was that what opened up then was this gap in the middle. There's so much being done that's fast and quick and appealing and bright. And you know, not all of that by any means is to be sniffed at. Straight out quick reporting is quick reporting. That's fine on a lot of things, but there's a lot of other stuff, and you know, we talked about it being the crap trap,
yeah,
where it's very easy to get in and get sucked into, you know, doing quick court stuff, quick crashes, video crashes, you know, celebrity everything, and all that stuff. And you can get some audience if you, you know, you play it the right way and if you social the right way.
And do you think that, you know, they're getting stuck in this trap, like you say, and is this creating an ignorant society?
I wouldn't say ignorant, but I think, you know, people have said for years, well before, you know, the kind of digital media we have now, that you get the media you deserve. And that means if you respond to it and that's what you take. And tabloid journalism for, you know, decades has fed off this. So it's not new. Tabloid journalism has always been more popular, okay, in Australia and Germany and everywhere than quality journalism. So I don't know that we're any more ignorant, but I think what it can do is that it can become so fragmented and people do not get exposed at all to the range of stuff. So you may well at one stage in your life, you know, you're just, I don't know, at school or just after that or even later, you're working, you just want to hear some stuff that's not too challenging. But if you were exposed to a little bit of other stuff in the media, you can also hear that, see that, and make you think. What becomes the case, I think, now is that you probably never get exposed to that other element. So you don't know of or get that extra, unless you're looking for it. You know, others you know do. So, yeah, and it feeds into that whole thing about, you know, Facebook and social being echo chambers, and you listen to see and hear and interact with people you know and like, and so you get the kind of same sort of stuff. So in that way, it's limiting.
In terms of the merger that was proposed, and the Commerce Commission denied Fairfax Media and NZME's merger in the name of, you know, media plurality, do you think this was a good decision?
On balance, I think it is the right decision. I never really campaigned one way or the other on this because it's desperate for Fairfax and NZME in the way that all the money that used to come in is not coming anymore, you know, both from ads and also from people paying for the papers to be delivered to their doors. So that money is just going, and they've still got to produce journalism, sustain the newsroom. So they are desperate, so I can see that. But I think the answer they proposed was really temporary, and it answered the wrong question in some ways. They sort of said, give us more time because Facebook and Google are just running all over us and everyone's using them and using them for advertising and for ways to get the news. They sort of asked for more time, but I don't think after more time they'd be in any better position really to deal with that. That they were facing a social and a search, you know, platform. And they weren't offering anything more in social search in their answer, you know. So I thought that, and what they were asking for was a really serious change to diversity, and it was going to be uncompetitive. And that's what the Commerce Commission looks at: is it you know, detrimental to competition? And they found that it was going to be that. And you know, basically, what there's an appeal now, and NZME and stuff want that appeal overturned by the High Court. And kind of the argument they're running now would amount to being, you know, I believe it'd be like if the, say, Vodafone and Spark believe they had to merge, and, you know, or telecommunications companies wanted to merge, and they went to the Commerce Commission, and the Commerce Commission said, no, you can't, because there's a danger to the 111 system. And they said, well, that doesn't matter, we have to go. And that, the 111 system I talk about here in the journalistic sense is the journalism. So they sort of say, well, their argument is, look, you can't, you shouldn't be looking at the journalism.
In terms of newsroom's funding model, how does that differ from, you know, these large companies?
Yeah, we, you know, we have the good fortune to be starting. So we started, we didn't go for digital advertising. You know, if you said to me tomorrow, I'd like to take an ad on your site, we don't do that.
Yeah.
What we've done is tried to get a twin model. One half of it, we have subscribers to a email and email alert and through the day updates direct to your company's intranet or to your email itself. And that's the subscribers. So that's kind of getting people to pay for the news for sure. On the other side, we've got our open site, newsroom.co.nz, which is free. But we've done an arrangement with what we call foundation supporters. It's two universities and we're hoping for five companies. Three and a half companies now. So they take annual subscriber deals with us, supporter deals with us, and for that, there's a twin thing for them. They do get presence on our site, and our site's pretty little at the moment, but they also, we do some video storytelling for them, which is in a part of the site called Corporate Newsroom at the bottom, but we also make that available to them, and But I think part of their support has also been that public good need, that they all see that there is a need for diversity, for sort of calm and quality and independent journalism, what we're trying to offer. Yeah. So
when they pledge that support, do they sort of give you, you know, creative freedom, I suppose?
And that's the other thing, is that we are lucky. Mark and I both worked in established media for a long time, and we're quite lucky in that because we're starting from sort of year zero, we've written contracts with all of the guys that we deal with that explicitly state that all editorial decisions, not just on where a story is or what it says, but, you know, because people argue about that everywhere in society, but also that none of these donation supporters would try or have the right to influence how much resourcing we put to certain subjects or what part of the country we cover or what subject areas we cover. So we're quite happy that we're actually allowed to be in that position where from the start, before anyone does anything and you know, contributes or supports, that they know that's the case, and we've had no issue with that in any way so far.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
That was co-editor of Newsroom Tim Murphy, and after the break we'll have National MP Jamie Lee Ross joining us live.
Flying out and 95BFM present the Others Way Festival, Friday, September 1st, all around K Road. The best of New Zealand is coming to K Road with Beck Runga, Lawrence Arabia, The Courtneys, Micronism, Sneaky Feelings and heaps more. The Others Way 2017. Tickets from Flying Out and online at flyingout.co.nz and undertheradar.co.nz. Limited early bird tickets available. Thanks to Karma Cola, Coffee Supreme, Kate Sylvester, K Road Business Association, Going Global Music Summit, Garage Project, APRA AMCOS NZ, One Music and Phantom Bill Stickers.
At this radio station, we do our utmost to abide by the Broadcasting Standards Authority and their rules and guidelines. If you seriously think we've crossed the line on air, give us a call on 309 4831 within 20 working days of the broadcast date and tell us about it. We'll be able to help you out and tell you the procedure if you wish to make a formal complaint to the Broadcasting Standards Authority. Fuck knuckles, cock and piss. Balls. Thank you.
It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
Jamie, how are you?
Morning. Oh, afternoon now. Good to be with
afternoon.
You.
Afternoon, indeed.
Day goes fast.
Yeah, it is. It's a nice day. So I'll get straight into it. Labour water tax that they have proposed. So Labour has announced that should they be elected, they will introduce a water tax much like those in the oil and gas industries. So commercial water bottlers and irrigation scheme users will have to pay for the water use. So Jacinda Ardern said, a royalty on the commercial consumption of water will assist with the cost of keeping our water clean. What do you have to say about that?
Well, you'll notice that Labor didn't tell the public how much it would cost them, how much revenue it would bring in, how it would be implemented, how it would work. There's a lot of detail left in this that no one's actually talked about. The trouble with going down the route of a water tax is it's very complex, it's very difficult to do. And I think if a political party is going to say they're going to do this after an election, the public deserves to know exactly how they're going to do it. The difficulty also is that irrigation in New Zealand and the agricultural industry uses a huge amount of water. The reason we do this is because we export a lot of goods, we have a lot of consumption in New Zealand around our food, and if we were to implement a water tax on all that, it would ultimately cost consumers a lot of money to do that. If you just look at some of the numbers out there in terms of water use, it takes 400 litres of water to produce 1 litre of milk.